God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. I'm just very thankful for God's goodness. Amen. And the fact that He's with us every day in life, always willing to help us with an open, loving heart toward each and every one of us. So today we just want to take the time to worship God. Be thankful that we can join together in His presence and just have Him touch our life. Amen? And so this morning, we're just going to be thankful to step into God's goodness. Amen.
Hello.
Hey, there it is. She was trying to sing with Carrie this morning. Bless the Lord. Start them young. Amen. Teach them to worship the Lord young. Hallelujah. Let's just get into worship and just spend your time with Jesus. Amen.
But I found a love so amazing. If only they knew. In the times He's provided, the miracles, wonders, and signs. So I cannot give Him half of my worship, and that should be no surprise.
Ask me why I worship the way that I do. Cause I've got a reason to praise Him like I know I've got nothing to lose. Cause I've got a reason to. I've got a peace overwhelming, a joy that get undignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free. Walking in the light, that's the reason why.
That's the reason why.
Clap my hands, move my feet, get undignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free. Walking in the light, that's the reason why. That's the reason I. Clap my hands, move my feet, get undignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free. Walking in the light, that's the reason why. That's the reason I. Clap my hands, move my feet, get undignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free. Walking in the light.
Worship the way that I do. Cause I've got a reason to praise Him like I know I've got nothing to lose. Cause I've got a reason to.
worship the way that I do. 'Cause I've got a reason to praise Him, Lord. I know I've got nothing to lose. 'Cause I've got a reason to. 'Cause I've got a reason to. Yes, I've got.
It's not hard to see it.
Look what the Lord has done.
Yes. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. It's not hard.
Reason. Amen? Yes. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being the reason. Thank you for saving me.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you will move me. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when when you feel the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
Hallelujah, for bringing us into a deeper place with you, for pouring fire out into us, Father God. We just thank you.
We praise you. We glorify you. Worthy of you.
This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room. Burden every ground. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will
was watching this video of this old preacher. He's been a pastor. He got saved when he was a kid, grew up and was a pastor, pastored for years. Sometimes more than you've been alive, some of you. And he had a conversation with the Lord, and it was basically about heaven and hell. And the gist of the conversation was the Lord had told him that if it were his time, he would be told, depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And he's like, but God, why? I have spent my whole life serving you. I have spent my whole life telling people about you. I have spent my whole life dedicated to you. And he said, no, you spent your whole life dedicated to the call. you didn't spend your whole life dedicated to me. So I think that's a good reminder that everything else is absolutely secondary to your relationship with Jesus. That should always be first, and that should be the basis of which we do everything on, is our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, we're just going to take a moment and just tell him how worthy he is. Amen?
Till my heart starts changing, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way that I feel and the fear that I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve.
I give you my worship. Still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you've already won. Woo! And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you made is as good as gold. Yeah. I give you my worship. You still deserve it.
Praise you, Jesus. Because
this, I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm waiting with open arms. I'm just waiting on you to come running. The only thing that's stopping you is you.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I think the Lord is pouring out his spirit right now for those that are fighting depression, for those that are fighting feeling like you belong or feeling like you mean something to somebody, like there's an identity crisis within you. And the Lord's saying, there's no crisis. I paid the price for you. You're mine. And you are who I say you are. You're not who the enemy says you are. I love you. I formed you. I knew you before I put you in your mother's womb. I have called you a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. I have chosen you. No man cometh but me, but through my son, by me calling you in. I have called you all in, and I am tired of allowing the enemy to tell you who you're not. and allowing him to get your thoughts so messed up that you start believing what you're hearing. Shut the voice down. Did I not say, take every thought into captive that's not mine? Put my word in you. Speak my word over yourself daily so you know who you are in me. Hallelujah. Don't settle for less than what I've paid for. Don't settle for less than what I've paid for. Hallelujah.
God, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God is a good, great, amazing Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is he good? He's
yes,
so good. He's so good. Amen.
Amen.
Give him another hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
He is worthy of it all. Don't hold back when you're worshiping the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to give him a shout of praise, you give him a shout of praise.
Praise
Could you
God.
Imagine
Hallelujah.
Doing that? Ooh. Ask me why, and seeing King David being the one dancing.
Amen.
He'd get undignified. He did get undignified. And
Dance
let me tell you,
clothes.
I don't know why
Amen.
I feel this. But I feel this to tell you that the woman that looked upon him and made fun of him and scoffed and mocked him is the one that never had a child.
Amen.
That the Lord closed up her womb and judged her.
Mm.
It was his wife.
Mm.
We have got to make sure that when we see somebody praising and worshiping the Lord, that you forget that they're there. Let them have their moment with the Lord and you get
Amen.
In with your moment with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo. Amen.
Praise Woo. The Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
How excited.
Praise
Did you
God.
Guys see this?
Woo.
How cool is that?
Amen.
Larry and Carrie made this.
Amen.
How beautiful
Praise
it
God.
Is. You guys did an amazing job.
Amen.
The decorations
yes,
are amazing.
Nice.
You guys are just amazing people. Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. We're Hallelujah. Excited. And we are going to have the children's program next Sunday, the
mm-hmm.
17th.
Amen.
And so come out, watch the kids, bring your kids. It's amazing. I love to watch our kids preach the gospel. That's what they're doing.
Amen.
They're preaching the gospel too. Sometimes grandparents, aunts, uncles that won't ever come into the church, but they'll come in and they'll watch their niece, their nephew, whatever this child may be to them, and they'll hear about Jesus.
Amen.
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 So we're excited about that. And then after service, we're going to have a carry-in.
Amen.
I'm just throwing everything
God.
On the floor.
Hallelujah.
And so there is a sign-up sheet out in the back. Or in the front, I guess this is the back of the church, in the front, on the welcome
Amen.
Center. And it is just, are you bringing a main dish, bringing a side dish, bringing a dessert, so we can make sure that we have enough main dishes and not all desserts. Although, let
Amen.
Me tell you, I wouldn't mind. So if you want to, if you're coming, if you're staying and you want to bring something, please just let us know
Amen.
What you're bringing. Just,
Amen.
Amen. And then, what else? Christmas Eve. We have our Christmas Eve service, our morning at 10 o'clock normal, and then our 6 o'clock Christmas Eve candlelight service, which is my absolute favorite service. I just
Amen.
Love it.
Praise
I
Lord.
Just love it.
Amen.
Amen. We've been a little spoiled to have somebody who loves Christmas songs prepare our Christmas Eve stuff, so
Ooh, amen.
Have some mercy and grace this year. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, so
Praise
there
God.
Is, I'm just going to talk about it here because there's questions about Christmas Eve service and bringing snacks or cookies or something. I put out there, does anybody want to get together and have like a baking party to make the snacks and stuff for the Christmas Eve party? Some people said yes. And then my schedule started getting full and I saw people like different times. And I'm like, okay, I did it too late this year. I felt like I did it too late. And so we're going to do it next year. We're going to plan early so we can come and make them early, freeze what we're going to do. And that way when Christmas season really comes, there's no trying to get somebody in here during that tight time that people are trying to run around and see family, basically. So and then I've had, so we're going to wait for that for next year, but we are going to do it next year and we're going to plan it early. And then what I had asked if you could bring in cookies or something, or yeah, if you want to, absolutely. We just have, like, little
finger foods and cookies and stuff. So if you want to do that, just come let me know what you're bringing, because I'm going to go get the rest of what we need. But you're more than welcome to do that, but you don't have to do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Amen. Praise God.
We're excited about Christmas.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Grandbabies make Christmas so much funner. I'm just telling you. There's something about, I love you, baby, I do. You're my baby, I love you. But it's way more exciting now to see JJ's face light up when he opens up something than yours, because you don't light up no more. I'm just saying, you get certain point and you're he's thankful. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
he just
thankful.
Doesn't show a lot of emotion.
Woo.
He might be like somebody else that we know.
Hallelujah.
Maybe. Sorry, I hit you in front of everybody. Man.
Hey, do you see?
That's supposed
now
to be private abuse.
Now you know why
abuse.
I'm dark-skinned. Praise God.
Amen. I think that's all I have, babe.
Very good.
Okay. I am going to go.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So, have we let the children go to children's class?
I think so.
And has the teens got to go to their class? Hallelujah. We want to let them go. And then we're going to spend just a couple minutes here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because Paul's encouraging people to prepare their gift ahead of time. So I just want to talk to you for just a few minutes about what it says in verse 5 here. It says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And what this means is that each and every one of us should make sure that in the area of giving, that we are conscious and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our giving. Of course, we want to give our tithes, but I also want you to know that the Lord will speak to you about times to give offerings and to just make sure that you're prioritizing these things and that you're letting your heart be available to hear what God wants you to do. I want you to know that when Miss Regina and I first started giving, there was often times where we would check ourselves by saying, oh, you know, if I felt like I wanted to give something, you know, I'd write it down, and then she would write it down. And without fail, the Lord would confirm to us that it's him speaking to us in the area of giving. So I want you to know that it is God that is encouraging you to give, because he wants to be a participant in every part of your life. Amen? And so let's make sure that today we're making room in our heart for God to speak to us, and let's make sure that we're honoring him with our giving and that we're letting him know that we trust him in every area of our life, because he is the one who is our true provider. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon this giving and these offerings today, Father. Lord, we just lift you up, and God, in this area, we worship you by saying, Father, we submit our giving to you because we believe in who you are. We trust in who you are. We know that you're the reason that we have substance in our life, God, and we know that you are the one who will rebuke the devourer and will open up doors and will bring blessing to our life and favor upon our life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you. I tell you what, I cannot just but think of God's goodness during this time that we celebrate during December. And I just want to read from the Word of God what it says here in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I want to remind you also that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, 8, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And I just want to remind us that during this Christmas season and during this time that we are thinking about the love of God for each one of us, I want you to know that we have got to remember that in all of the busyness of this season and all the things that we're preparing and how we're getting ready for Christmas and how we're going down through our shopping list and we're doing all these things, praise God. And I, like Pastor Regina was saying, I can't wait to see my grandbabies open their gifts. But in all of this, I want to remind us that the most important thing about this season is a reminder of God's commitment to each and every one of us. His willingness to say, hey, I want you to know how much I love humanity, that not only did I breathe breath into Adam to begin things, but in the middle of crisis, in the middle of mankind even making decisions that were not pleasing to me, I doubled down and confirmed my commitment that I gave you before I ever created the earth. Before I ever created you, I want you to know that I made a commitment within myself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost decided that before he breathed breath into man, that he was committed to help overcome even our wrong decisions and those things that would lead us away from him. And this morning, I just want to remind us of some things that were done in the preparation of bringing Jesus to us and just how committed God was, that not only did he take care of the big picture, not only did he take care of the biblical prophecy of the big idea of him sending his son that he promised way back in Genesis chapter 3. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, he promised to send a seed that would break the headship authority of Satan and open it back up for us to be involved with him. But today, I just want to remind you of how personal God got with those that were involved in bringing to pass what needed to happen and how he was willing to speak to individuals to help make sure that it came to pass which needed to be done. Amen? And so we're just going to look here in the Bible, and then towards the end, I'm going to go over a scripture that should remind us of just how important family is and just how important other things are that need to be reverenced over anything we could have in this world. But I'm going to start here by going to Matthew chapter 1, praise God. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 18 because it's starting to talk about the birth of Jesus and him coming. And it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the rise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and willing to make her a public and not being willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." In other words, I want you to know that Joseph was giving consideration to the idea of Mary, who was espoused to be his wife, but that wasn't just his wife yet, that he was at one point thinking of putting her away and hiding the fact that she was with child. And it says here that while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, what I want you to see here is that our Father in heaven was willing to speak individually to every person that had a need to be able to do their part in bringing forth Jesus. I want you to know something, that our Father in heaven is reminding us that he changes not. I want you to know something, that if he spoke to Joseph during the time that Joseph really needed it, and he did, because why did Joseph need it? Joseph needed to make sure that, number one, what Mary was telling him was true. I mean, the Lord gave Mary her confirmation, and we're going to look at that, but I want you to know something. What a big-hearted man Joseph had to be to sit down and hear his wife say, Honey, I'm pregnant, and I'm going to bring forth a child, and I've been with no man. Woo! Praise God. Think about the processing of Joseph to have to hear that from the woman who he's in love with, that he's going to spend his entire life with. And I want you to know something, that God had the mercy and grace to say, Joseph, in the middle of this, I want to speak to you to make sure you know that you're supporting something that is from me, that you're not crazy and your wife is not crazy, but this is really my plan. I want you to know something, that we need to remember that even though this was a supernatural moment for the birthing of Christ, that can only happen one time through Joseph and Mary. But I want you to remember that the Lord just said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. What this means is that during this time and during this season, when we think about the birthing of Christ, I also want you to be reminded that the Lord reminds us of these moments to make sure that we understand that he has made this same kind of commitment to each and every one of us. That I want you to know something, the Lord will not fail you. He will not leave you alone. He will not fail to help you process the things that you need to process. He will not fail to help you negotiate the difficulties that you have going on in life. And I want you to know something, that just like the Lord opens up ways to communicate to Joseph during the time that he needed it most, God will open up a way to communicate to you. And he will prove to you that he's with you, and he will prove to you that he's helping you, and he will show you every step you need to take to make sure that you can navigate what you need to navigate. You know, we'll probably look at next week how once the Lord was born, God spoke again to Joseph. Why? So that he knew how to navigate where they needed to go and how God could provide for them the protection and the peace and the provision that was needed for them to do and to live this thing called life. I want you to know something, that our Father in heaven is always committed to us and will always help us in every situation. It is amazing because he said, I am doing this. And the angel let Joseph know that Mary was bringing forth a son that would be called Jesus. He even went to the detail of giving Joseph the name so that he knew without fail that this is that which would have been spoken by the prophets and had been talked of, and it had to be an amazing moment for Joseph to realize that he was in the middle of something so extraordinary. Praise God. Joseph was a great man of faith. Praise God. Having a dream given to him, seeing an angel, hearing a word from the Lord, and being willing to stand up after that and do what God had told him by faith. Amen? I want to look over here because I like to make sure that we understand that Joseph had a perspective in this. Joseph had a thing to process in this. And then Mary had something to process in this. Amen? Praise God. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to see what the Lord said to Mary and how she processed this whole situation. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused of a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or what manner of greeting was this. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the house of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I want you to know something, that not only is this an amazing story, not only is this a miraculous story detailing how the Lord moved upon someone, but what I want you to see and what I want to remind you with the Lord changing not is the very fact that when Mary said, Hey, Lord, this is not possible because the natural of process of mankind has not taken place. Joseph is going to be my husband, but I've not been with him right now. So the natural process required to have a child has not taken place. And what did the Lord tell her? Mary, remember, when you come to the end of your humanity, and when you come to the end of what you cannot do, remember I'm the extension of your life. Remember that I have paid a price for humanity to have access to something that is beyond themselves. I want you to see something here, Mary, and you are going to stand as a testament from now and forever that when you are not enough by yourself, you're not meant to be on your own. I want you to know something, that we all are processing problems, situations, and issues that are bigger than ourselves. And the reason why they're lingering, or the reason why they're overwhelming us, is we have forgotten to go to God and remind ourselves that when it gets too big for us, let's make sure we're making room for Him. I want you to know, amen, amen. I want you to know something, that what Mary was saying to God was, Hey, Father, I would love to do anything you ask me to do, but I'm telling you right now, this is something that is not possible. And this is why I want to remind you that the Lord has said time and time again in His Word, and we're going to look at it in just a little bit, time and time again, He has said, what is impossible with man is possible with me. I want you to know something, that for each and every one of us right here, right now, remember, we started by saying that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that if He was available for both Joseph and for Mary, I want you to know something, the Lord is available for you. I want us to be reminded right here and right now that if we have issues in life where we come to the end of ourselves and we don't know what to do and we cannot navigate the moment by ourselves, we have got to remember right then and right there what we do is press in and ask God. What we do is go to the Lord and ask Him to show us and demonstrate to us what He needs us to do in that moment. I want to remind you that at this time, when we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, we can never forget that the basis of Christmas is Christ first, sent for us as a representation of the love of God. Praise God. You know, I love it because right now we're talking about the birth of Christ, but I cannot help but go to that moment where even the Lord said, okay, Father, I've come to this moment in my life on this earth where what I need is to make sure that from here on, you're going to carry the rest of this. What did the Lord say? Father, I would rather that you remove this cup. Take it away from me and do this another way. But if it's not possible, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, Father, I'm going to trust you from this moment forward, knowing that as I go through things like death, as I go through this torture where I know they're going to beat me and hurt me and do all these things to me, I would not be able to do this under my own power, but with you, I can do it. Remember, Jesus even told somebody when he was walking on this earth, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. He said, what you see me do and what you hear me say, I receive from my Father. You know, we have got to remember, people, that if Jesus said while he was here on this earth, living a perfect life and walking this life, never having sinned, if he was willing to say, I can of myself do nothing, then how much more so should we humble ourselves and understand that without him, we can't do it either. And you know, I want to remind us of something, and I want to take us to a place in the Bible right now where we're going to incorporate a whole nother story into this situation that needed the possibility of God's help when no other help would happen. And I want to inject it during this time because during the season that we're in right now, I want you to know that some people are going to have their highest highs. Some people absolutely love Christmas time, and some people are on the top of the world during this time right now. But I also want you to know that there's an element of people that struggle during this time. There are people that are suffering their loss for the first time ever. It might be their first season without their mother or heaven forbid, without a sibling or a child or someone that they've lost. And I want you to know something, that more than ever, we need to know that the Lord is the one that we need to lead into to make sure we navigate this season. Amen? And so we're going to go and we're going to look at a time where the Lord was speaking to someone, and this person was working with Jesus and asking him what he needed to do. And so we're just going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, praise God. And I just want to look here for just a minute, because we're going to look at a time when the Lord was walking and a young man came up to him and began to speak to him. And it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This young man, in other words, was asking the Lord, ooh, what do I have to do? What do I give up so that I can have eternal life? And the Lord said, keep the commandments. And the young man said, well, which one? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and father. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, Woo! All right. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be made perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Boy, I want you to see the deepness of this story that's been told to us and revealed to us. I want you to know that in the middle of this season right now, where we are keeping hectic paces to make sure that we buy this gift and we buy this gift and we're doing all this stuff to celebrate this season, remember that the most important part of this season is first and foremost our relationship with the Lord. I want you to know something. What the Lord was really saying to this young man is, hey, the area that's difficult for you is that you have an overconfidence in what you have in this natural, materialistic world. He was revealing to this young man his shortcoming, which was that he cared for the things he had and the natural elements of this world more than he cared for the relationship and the overall things that he should be looking forward to. I want you to know something, that what the Lord was bringing into perspective in this particular situation is that there are things that should be more valuable to us than the things we can attain in this life. Love. Remember, the last thing he told this young man was loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, he was saying, I want you to know something. There are things that the Lord requires that are much deeper than the natural level of things. You know, each thing that the Lord gives us a commandment not to do is always about selfish motive. It's always about pride. It's always about trying to prove who we are and trying to have things that we want our way, regardless of how it impacts other people. And I want you to know something, that the Lord was saying in this moment to everybody, hey, I want you to know something, that you should be willing to give up whatever needed to make sure that you're on the right side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Basically, the story here is, hey, remember that in this thing called life, our Father in heaven has given us a way to live of what's right and wrong, and we have to make sure that we honor his way of living and his way of doing things above anything else that we're going to experience in this thing called life. See, I want to remind you that during this season, when we're so busy and with all these things going on, and I want you, whoo, I definitely want you to enjoy a good holiday meal. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Amen. I want you to eat well. I want you to do all that. But I want you to know that that atmosphere should be filled with the care for others. That atmosphere should be filled with love, not just about the gift I'm receiving this Christmas, but it should be filled with the love of those who the Lord has put in our life. It should be amidst of the revelations of what we're praying for, what we're believing for, what we're looking for when we're bringing to pass something in someone's life. Because I want you to know something, that the birthing of Jesus to God our Father in heaven was making sure that above all, he was honoring us above anything else. See, it's so powerful for us to remember that why should we put others first? Why should we put love first? Because this is the very nature of God himself. God is love. And how did he express it more than anything than by taking the most precious thing to him and being willing to give it and being willing to see his son go through all that he had to go through to make sure that he was securing a future and a foundation for us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. That before I go on, you know, I want to make sure that we don't get caught up in the idea that the Lord was saying that this man needed to be poor in the natural realm in order to please him. Physically poor wasn't what the Lord was after. How do I know that? I want you to know something right now. America is one of the most blessed nations in the world. Remember, we just had a man here in Pakistan, from Pakistan, and he was letting us know that in his nation, people do work for $3 American for a whole week. He was also letting us know that $17 could lead to a debt of $1,700, which that's a lot of money, but for us in America, that's not like what it is like in Pakistan. $1,700 in Pakistan is like $5 million. So I want you to know something. If the Lord was just talking about money, we would be disqualified. Because in Africa, you can live off of $20 a whole month. If you made $25 a month US dollars in Africa, they consider you pretty well off. So that's not the motive that the Lord was getting at. The motive of money, or the motive of what he was really getting at with this young man, was, hey, this young man cares more about the things of this world. This young man values the thing of this world. What it meant was, this young man is rich in this world. In other words, he cares more about natural things than he cares about me. And that's where you cross the line. I don't care if you're a millionaire. You can still love the Lord. Just make sure that money's not your motive. Make sure that money's not taking you somewhere it shouldn't be. Make sure that you are still living godly with all that money in your bank account. That's not the motive. The motive is the Lord in control? The motive is, if you had extra money in the bank and the Lord asked you to give it or do something with it, are you willing to do that? This is why when the disciples said to him, Lord, if the rich can't go to heaven, who can go? What were they saying? Hey, there's some of us who have fishing businesses. There's some of us who are physicians. There's some of us who are in positions that in our culture and in our time are considered part of the wealthy. And the Lord was saying, hey, it's not the money that you can't navigate as long as you make sure that you're doing it through me. And I want us to remember something, that sometimes people are rich in pride. People are rich in arrogance. People are rich in realms of discrimination. People are rich in attitudes. I want you to know that those are the kinds of things that the Lord was speaking to us about, making sure that they come under the submission of the Lord. Uh-oh, I got to go to the other side of this thing. Sometimes people are rich in insecurity. Sometimes people are rich in the devaluing of who they are. Sometimes people are rich in anger. Sometimes people are rich in self-deprivation and tearing down of who they are instead of believing in who they are in the Lord. I want you to know something, that there's a lot of things that we could be rich in that would not glorify the Lord. The things that we want to make sure that we're rich and well off in is our trust in Him and our looking forward to Him being the Lord and Savior of our life. Amen? I want to make sure that during this Christmas season, the most important things for us is that we keep Christ in Christmas. I want to just share one other thing with you guys for today. And it's found, praise God, right here in the book of John. John chapter 1. And it says right here in verse 9 that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Of course, he's talking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want to remind us during this Christmas season that the reason Jesus was born was to give each one of you the power to be children of the living God. To give each one of you the right to know that Jesus Christ lived on this earth, was born, walked this life, lived, went to the cross, and was raised again to give you the power to become the children of the living God. What do you mean I have power? You have the power to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ. You have the power and the right to say the blood of Jesus is bigger than who I am. The blood of Jesus is bigger than my yesterday. The blood of Jesus is bigger than my sins. The blood of Jesus is bigger than anything I could have ever done wrong. And the name of Jesus and me being willing to receive him as Lord and Savior has given me the power, the authority, and the right to say I'm free from my yesterday and I will live forever in the joy of the Lord. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to remember that God loved you so much that he wanted to take every authority of the devil, every authority of this world out of your way and give you the power through his love to say, I am going to be the child of the living God that I was created to be, and I'm going to live for him from this day forward. Amen? And so I just want you to be able to rejoice during this time in the goodness of God, the power of his mercy, and the power of his love. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father, that this life is not impossible because of you. Lord, I thank you that we can give up the trust. When the Lord was saying, those that are rich in this world, what was he really saying? Those that trust in this world and the things of this world more than me are going to find it hard to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if they will relinquish their trust in the things of this world and put their trust in me, nothing's going to be impossible for them to overcome Nothing's going to be impossible for them to defeat. Nothing's going to be impossible for them to have victory over. And they will enter into my joy, into my peace, and into eternal life. Lord, I thank you for your loving mercy right now that's upon us, and your goodness that is bringing us into who we are, Father God. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we put Sue before you, Father God. And right now, Lord, we pray for healing. God, we pray, God, right now, that you would break all these symptoms off of her, Father God. We pray, God, over this cough and any sinus issues to be cleared up, Lord. And God, we speak healing over her ribs and over everything that she needs healed. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know that I just believe that God is moving greatly on our behalf. I know right now that the Lord is sending his mercy and grace upon us, and that God is strengthening us during this time. Amen. And I want you to know something, that God will meet you right where you're at. Amen. So anybody that is in need of prayer today, I want you to know that you can come and we'll pray in agreement with you. And I'm just telling you that the goodness of God is going to help you through every day of your life. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.